Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Our pal Clint Yates with us here. Don't forget Dave McMiniman going to stop by at 6:45. Clint Yates joins us on the Celebrity Hotline presented by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. Don't forget, we're giving away a virtual key each and every weekday. We got four keys left here on 710 ESPN. Warren Leung of Montebello won today's key. You want your key? Listen to Mason and Ireland give out the destination of the day during the 3 o'clock hour each and every weekday. Write that thing down and get to us in the 5 o'clock hour. Listen for Sal Gonzalez of Culver City Mazda to give you the cue to call. Be caller number 7 when you hear it with the correct destination of the day, and you win the virtual key, or a virtual key, excuse me, that could start that brand new 2021 Mazda CX-5 Sport with a grand in the glove box. Take a road trip on us. It's the 710 ESPN Month of Giving. So we've got a Woj bomb before I get to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So Woj has the Warriors deal. It's funny because we were literally just talking to Bobby Marks about this. The Warriors have finalized a trade to acquire OKC Thunder forward Kelly Oubre Jr. for a 2021 first-round pick. And the Warriors pick next season, it's some contingencies. Warriors will only convey the first-round pick next season should they finish 21-30. So it's top 20 protected, basically.
Okay.
LZ, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on Kelly Oubre?
I think he's a nice little pickup for them. I'm not sure how much of a difference maker he is. Only because whatever he gives you offensively, he's likely going to give up to you defensively. But he is fire. And him and Draymond together will be yapping away on the court. So they'll be interesting to watch. But I'm not sure if he's the kind of player that's going to make them feel better about not having Clay. He's not like that.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Oubre fan. I know that you are a Washington Wizards fan, I believe.
Yeah. Yates. And I love Kelly Oubre
in your life, right?
I love Kelly Oubre. And quite frankly, part of my issue with this is that I feel like Kelly Oubre is one of those players that's never going to get the situation that he deserved to become the player that he can be. I think this is as close to one since he left Washington as you're going to get. I happen to think he's an extremely dynamic player who only has room to grow and who has got a polished offensive game for the stage of his career that a lot of guys don't necessarily have, and the confidence to go with it. And he's left-handed, which is a totally unnecessary point, but I like to watch him dunk because it looks a little different than everybody else. As for the pickup, I think it works well. Do I think he's going to turn into like an instant all-star? No, but I'm glad that he's going to be able to go to a team where I feel like he's going to be able to learn a little bit of more basketball as opposed to just being able to try to like sort of be the guy for a winner. I don't really know what the Thunder's plan is now because like this was a playoff team and now all of a sudden they've got a bunch of new guys and who knows what it's going to look like. So I'm happy that he's in a situation where at least he's around some winners. Whether or not they're necessarily going to have the highest ceiling next year because of the unfortunate injury situation, I don't know, but I like it for Kelly for sure.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan. Like I think that he is, he is a good player. I don't think he's like some sort of difference maker. Maybe I'm wrong. I think he gets credit for being a defensive player when I don't believe he's actually a good defensive player.
Wow. Down on KOJ. Okay.
I'm not a fan. Like he's
Wait, did you just try to call him KOJ?
I mean, I said that just kind of freestyling it, but
man,
I mean,
he ain't that like that. But you got initials and stuff like that. He ain't like that.
Hey, first of all, right, listen, we ain't gonna come to blows over no Kelly Oubre Jr. because he's more stylish than you and me, LZ. So just let's not forget that,
bro. Just because you dress differently doesn't mean you dress stylishly. Don't get them too conflated.
Wow.
I mean, that sounds like a little bit of a declaration of beef. Of course, I am watching Versus over here on the side, so I'm a little primed. But, I mean, Kelly Oubre is an established league-fits dude. I'm certainly not going to talk any trash about his fashion game. Forget about his basketball game. But, okay, we can go there. I talked a lot of fashion online last night for the NBA draft. We can touch on that. But Kelly Oubre is a stylish dude, for sure.
Yeah, he's a stylish dude. No, I'm not going to say he doesn't have a style. I just don't think you should conflate being different with meaning that you always batting 1,000 because Cam dresses different, but that doesn't mean he's always batting 1,000.
Okay.
Westbrook dresses differently. Harden dresses differently. That doesn't mean they're batting 1,000.
The shade. I did not know that you had such hot fashion basketball takes. We need to get together and do some separate programming.
Oh, man, it's just fashion, period. That's all.
I like it.
And you know, when you go to Milan as much as I have, and you get taught by...
Oh, okay. Wow.
I'm just saying, you know.
Wow. What did I walk into?
I'm just saying. That's just sort of, you know, that's space I like to operate in. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, George.
I just don't love his game all that much. Like, he's certainly athletic. He can get to the, you know, he's great on the break. Like, he's become a good shooter, right? Like, and I just think defensively he's a bit overrated is the way I would describe it.
Okay, can we go back? I'm sorry. I'm completely distracted. I have to talk about this because it was the NBA draft last night, and this is all I was tweeting about. So who were your guys last night, LZ? Who did you think looked good? Which families did you think looked good? I happen to like the Halliburtons. There was a guy that had the hoodie under the suit jacket, which is a look that nobody
that
really goes
so
to.
That's so old.
I know.
That's
it's an old-ass so old.
Look.
I know. I was laughing. I loved it. I'm just saying, I don't necessarily need everybody to be on the cutting edge. I just need them to be committed to themselves, and that was one of them. The Halliburtons looked great. I thought I can't really remember who else. I mean, I'm not going to get to Kenty Karen. I'm not going to diss her. Okay, that woman had those children. That's her family. That was a group decision. I have no problem with that. I'm not going to get crazy about it. That was not the first time she'd worn that. I also liked. Who else did I like? I can't remember. But those are the two that first come to mind in terms of what I remember last night.
There were a couple of rookies who opted for a brick color jacket that I thought was really good. It was like really good. Like, to me, like, brick is the color for this fall. And there were a couple of guys who rocked it that I was like going, all right. Because even though it's not red, it's just red enough where you can get clown if you don't do it right.
Right.
And I felt like the guys, and I think there were three players actually who went that route, which means they might have gone to the same stylist. But it just looked really good. Mm-hmm. Okay. It just looked really good. And then who was the broad with the white suit?
Dang, I can't remember.
Was that Precious?
Was it Precious?
Yes. No, Precious had a blue suit on because that Precious was also the greatest family scene of all of them because there was a little girl on the couch who was asleep when they first went to the shot. She was a toddler. And as soon as they started cheering, she woke up freaked out. And I was like, how dare you all interrupt this little girl's nap for your stupid draft party? It was adorable. And I loved it. So that's what I remember from Precious. He had a hat on and he had a blue suit. But that little girl, she had her night destroyed. It was hilarious.
By the way, and George and I were talking this before, how good of a baller do you need to be to rock this world and your name is Precious?
Oh, man, you got it. First of all, if you watch him play, and I did watch some videotape after the fact, that dude plays with some ferocity. And I would imagine there's a lot of pent-up frustration from him being made fun of for his name.
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah, and listen. You either got to be the meanest dude on earth or you got to be like the nicest guy on earth to the point that people like don't want to make fun of you because that's like just lame. You know what I'm saying? But I have a feeling it's probably a little bit more of the former than the latter.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. Lakers, if I told you there was a gift-wrapped Serge Ibaka in the Christmas tree this year for the mid-level exception, how would you feel?
I would feel great about it. I mean, I think that's – you know, when you think about what the concept of the mid-level exception is supposed to be, and you think about the kind of team that wants to use it in order to add somebody that they think is probably going to be pretty useful, the Lakers and Ibaka come exactly to mind. I think a lot of people thought Ibaka was kind of, I don't want to say washed when the Raptors went on to win the title, but I think there's a certain amount of people that thought that he was beyond his prime, so to speak. But I love that player. I love him, man. He's been one of those guys that I always thought was going to be extremely underrated, like no matter how well he did. And I still think that's the case. Serge Ibaka is a winner, as far as I'm concerned. And I like that dude a lot. I think it would be a great fit.
He also just launched his own fashion collection.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Serge, you know, he's parle en français beaucoup on the internet. So, you know, I watch him in French mostly.
Well, it's like
I'm not going to Milan, LZ. Yeah. But, you know, I do operate in different.
France
well, counts. He definitely goes to Milan. I don't think there's any question.
Yes, sir.
And when I did one, the only walk-off interview I did with him this year in Indiana, he had a monster game. And we were talking about his fashion because he was wearing one of those big Lenny Kravitz scarfs to the game in Indiana where it's just like it looks like.
I remember
like,
that.
It looks like a blanket, basically. But he's such a large man that, you know, he can wear it as a scarf. And I asked him about his, you know, because Fred VanVleet was saying, oh, he's got the best drip. But he's got the best drip because he makes the most money on the team, is what he said to me. So I said, yo, Fred said this. And he's like, you know, I don't worry about money. I don't do drip. I don't do fashion. I do art. And I was like, okay.
That is awesome. Let me ask you this question, LZ. Do you know how to say the word scarf in French? Because it is a lovely word, one of my favorite words in the language.
Is it scarvé?
It is not scarvé. It is écharpe, which is a great word.
Écharpe.
Écharpe. At the end. P-E. At the end. So. If you ever have a nice écharpe, make sure you use that word when you fling it around your neck to let people know you're putting it on. So
I don't know, Steve, but let me have an e-shop by myself.
Clinton, before we let you go, if you were Lawrence Frank, what would you want under your Christmas tree?
E-shop.
That's a good question. Maybe a point guard who can actually play all the minutes. I don't know. I asked that because I don't know what I think the goals are for that team right now. They had such a weird exit to the playoffs, and like, I'm not, you know, after thinking about all the things that have gone on with the Lakers, like, where do you think that team should be going right now?
Oh, they definitely need someone to organize offense. I don't think there's any question.
I mean, like, that to me is the main priority. It's not even close. So I don't want to be trite with that answer, but like, that was the obvious point for me. You need some sort of point guard situation, whether it's a facilitator, a captain, or God knows what. But I just think that maybe Patrick Beverley, and listen, Patrick Beverley is my favorite player in the league, frankly, but I think that role is maybe passed him by on that team at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Clinton Yates. Follow him on Twitter at Clinton Yates. Check out his work at The Undefeated. You got anything we need to plug today?
Bro, I just dropped a huge piece, E60, 2 Chainz. If those of you who don't know, he's a minority owner for the College Park Skyhawks. Your boy was in Atlanta, sat down with him at his old high school gym where he played and was a state champion when he was a sophomore. Check it out on ESPN Plus and The Undefeated.
Excellent.
Sweet. Thank you, sir. Yeah, all right, man. We will catch up with you next
you
week.
Soon.
Thank you.
I'm going to go put on in a shop.
All right, there you go. Put it on in the shop. Glenn Yates, our pal, joins us every week here at 6 o'clock on Thursdays. All right, McMiniman at 6:45. Coming up next, though, LZ, I want to switch back to some football talk because Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay Bucks head coach, they're facing the Rams, and he said something that made me go, really, dude? Really? You're going to say this week of all weeks? We'll tell you what that is in 3 minutes.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Woo! Yeah. So
see, Laura's messing with me now, George.
What's that?
Because I was like, you know what verses I really want to see but could never happen?
Right.
Prince versus Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Unfortunately, unless we do holograms or something.
I never have seen no hologram verses. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? I'm desperate. I can go for hologram verses.
I know. Then let's just do Biggie and Tupac then if that's the case.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like all the really good verses we can't really do. Whitney versus Mariah, can't do it.
I mean, we couldn't do Mariah even if Whitney was around, to be honest, these days.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
I mean, did you hear Mariah? What was that New Year's a couple years ago? Remember?
Oh, dude. And she just like going, I'm tapping out.
Yeah. Remember? I think we were still doing the morning show together back then. Like, I think that was shortly thereafter. It was not good.
It was not good. It was not good. No.
Was that the Carson Daly? Was she doing that one? The ABC one?
It was ABC for sure. Yeah. I can't remember who the host was, but she definitely just said, "Yeah, I'm not seeing this whole song."
It was crazy. She couldn't hit the notes anymore.
Well, you know, it happens to us. You know,
I can't hit
my notes anymore.
Well, I mean, we heard your last segment just trying to get through the notes. You know,
bro, I was just trying to eat the half an almond. It wasn't even a whole almond. It was half an almond.
But you said there is your problem. You said you bite the almond in half, and I just think just go all almond. And then crunch it up with your molars. You know what I'm saying?
You don't go full almond when you're live on air. You go half almond so you can quietly chew it. Mm. Unless it chokes you to death, which it almost did to me.
Because that didn't help either. You know what I'm saying?
It did not help.
You probably need to rethink that strategy is what I would say.
I'm going to start going walnuts. I think walnuts are way more half bite friendly.
Well, and they also are softer when you get to the inside.
Are we still talking about the almonds?
We're talking about walnuts.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Wait, what is this?
Here's Mariah.
Turn it up. What would happen to us if LeBron James gets to this point in the basketball court? Like, I meant to hit that layup, but you know, it is what it is.
Right. We meant to hit that vocal, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
I remember watching that in real time, just laughing, howling with laughter.
The side commentary. We missed the vocals, but it is what it is.
I mean, that is just fantastic.
She still gets booked.
Speaking of it is what it is, New Year's Eve 2016, yes. By the way. That was 2016. Yeah.
Wow.
So there you have it. Bruce Arians is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. They were playing the Rams this weekend. He said this week, LZ. Man, our team is really tired. And I'm like, you know, look, I get it. It's football. It's tough, right? You know, it's hard. You know, it's a grinding sport. Super physical. But, dog, the Rams have now – this week, they will have made their fourth trip to the East Coast, I believe. Four!
Wow.
How much tired – should the Rams be, and you don't hear Sean McVay out here with us like he was to, you know, in the first hour of the show, telling how tired he is.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to totally trash him because I don't know the context of the conversation, but that's a bad soundbite. Mm-hmm. It's just a bad soundbite. Like, everybody's tired. I'm tired, George. You're tired. You were on 19 shows today.
I was.
So, I mean, it's like, who's not tired in 2020? So it's like, come on, dog, suck it up, keep it moving. We don't want to hear about you whining about you being exhausted by staying at home.
I mean, hell, even 2020's tired of 2020.
Seriously. Though it's making a comeback, I will say that. It's making a comeback. It's
with
a late
Lakers
rally.
And Dodgers. Yeah.
Lakers and Dodgers and some other stuff that worked out okay.
Oh, speaking of which, Wrigley Field became a federal landmark. What would be the sports venue in LA that you would make a federal landmark?
First of all, Wrigley Field should have been a landmark.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's finally crossed that threshold. Here in the city, I would say, Dodger Stadium is one, but I would rather see the Colo first.
Yes, the Coliseum was built in the 30s, I believe.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, it just feels like it's old. So it should be treated with a little bit more respect.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as you walk into it, as you look at it, like, it just looks like it's historic.
Yeah. 1921, it was commissioned.
Ooh, man. 1921. Yeah. Were you still picking cotton?
Completed in 1923.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100 years old, man. That's, you need to respect that. What do you get when you get one of those designations? Do you get, like, a prize or something?
I don't know. They give you do they like put like a statue up in front of the place or something? Yeah, I don't know. That is a great question.
Do we use federal dollars now to make sure that you don't fall to pieces as opposed to using donations?
Maybe that would be it, yeah. And by the way, the Coliseum is now, it's going to be three Olympics now, 32, 84, and 2028.
I feel like if you've hosted an Olympics, you should automatically get that designation.
Oh, now, wait a second.
I'm waiting.
Now, Greg, I need you to check in on this.
Okay.
It was declared a National Historic Landmark in 1984, the Coliseum. Now, how is that different from being a federal landmark? I know they're different phrases, so is there a difference? Like, we need to look this up because we may be already given a distinction to the Coliseum that was already given to it in 1984.
Or give it to it twice. So people don't forget.
Yeah. Because I would say that if Wrigley Field – look, Wrigley Field certainly needs to be in that category. To your point, I'm surprised it wasn't earlier. I am curious to see what if there is a distinction between the federal or national historic, you know?
Absolutely. So, Greg?
What about Dodger Stadium?
I'm looking it up right now.
What do you think, Dodger Stadium? What do you think? Dodger Stadium, should it get not
it's kind of young. It's kind of young.
Right.
You know, you're talking about Wrigley Field, and I do believe Fenway is also on this list. You're talking about like 100-year-old parks, right?
Yeah. Right. Dodger Stadium opened in 1962.
Yeah, that's like barely older than us.
Right.
I noticed I said us.
I mean, we are old, though. Ish.
Yeah. Ish. So Dodger Stadium is basically like it might be able to get Social Security, but it probably is still working.
Right. Yeah, it hasn't hit retirement age yet. That is right. An excellent point. Yeah. So either way. This game is getting interesting now all of a sudden. The Seahawks, who started off really hot, all of a sudden not so hot anymore. Offense kind of simmered down a little bit here in the second quarter. But their defense is playing well. Yeah. Arizona's only got 7 points. And their defense, we know, has been trash so far this season.
Yeah, maybe they're tired of hearing you talk about the defense, George, and they decided to, like, pop some guys.
I did trash them today, that's for sure. And I've been trashing them all season. And I thought, like, you know, Kyler Murray is my fantasy quarterback. I thought we'd have a good week this week. I mean, look, it's still a whole second half to go here.
Man, you still got time.
There's still plenty of time. I mean, there's still time in the second quarter. They can still score and take a lead here, personally. But it is going to be weird. Not weird, though.
I just read something that's crazy.
What's that?
So the old Tiger Stadium was also a federal National Historic Landmark. Mm-hmm. But then it was torn down.
Oh.
So I thought once you got that designation, you know, that the federal government would do whatever it could to make sure that being torn down wasn't part of your future. But I guess I'm wrong with that.
Yeah, apparently not.
I believe they are the same thing.
They are the same thing, yes. Yeah, I just looked it up myself in like 2 seconds. Yes.
Well, just making sure. I don't want to say you're giving bad information.
Wow.
Wow. Nonstop, I swear. Man,
I gave you credit like 35 minutes ago on something, so.
Yes, yes, that was the one for the day.
That counts for like 10.
For you, yes.
Take your wins, Greg. Take your wins.
I mean, for real, don't be complaining.
There's no telling when you're going to get another W.
But in his defense, he actually did have it. We were texting. I have to give it to him.
Thank you.
I need to see a timestamp.
All right, we're going to talk to McMiniman. Dave McMiniman is going to join us. We're going to find out what the hell the Lakers are up to, what they're going to do. We will talk to him in just a moment.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Uh-oh. Do you know what she actually says there real quick, LZ, before we talk to Dave McMiniman about the Lakers? Yeah, that's what I thought. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Dave McMiniman is supposed to join us here in a couple of minutes. We will be done here in about 10 minutes or so. We've got a hard out today because we got Rams All Access coming up. So JB Long, DeMarco Farr and company will get you ready for that Rams-Bucks game on Monday Night Football. Steve Levy going to join us tomorrow at 4:15, Greg. Is that what you said, or 4:30?
4:15.
And then we got Amin at 5:30 and then Mac at 6:15 for the Mac Show. Dave McMiniman joins us now as advertised. So, Dave, what if I said that the Lakers could have a Christmas gift or a holiday gift under the tree or wherever in the house with Serge Ibaka at a price tag of the mid-level exemption? How likely would something like that be? Like, do you think that is even possible?
I think if the Lakers could have it their way, they would split the mid-level exception and use it on Serge and someone else. Use it on Serge and give Dwight Howard a bonus. Rather than have him come at the veterans minimum and keep him away from going somewhere else, split it with Serge and a Wes Matthews. Split it with Serge and one of the other names that we hear out there. So I mean, certainly he's someone that could help them as you look at their core, and perhaps they're going to lose a guy like Markieff Morris, who was, you know, dynamite for them, particularly in the Houston series in that stretch big capacity. Serge can do that as well, has championship experience, is a physical defender. And obviously you heard all the things that Rob Pelinka said today about Dennis Schroeder. They want to pick up guys with a little grit, little physicality to them, and that fits the game that Ibaka's shown for years.
Is Kyle Kuzma long for this world?
For this world? I mean, we are in the middle of a pandemic, so let's be careful about the word.
How about the Lakers world? There you go.
How about the Lakers world? There you go.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, Kyle Kuzma is really interesting here. Rob Pelinka was asked point blank about him today and said, you know, when the time is right, we're going to sit down with his representatives and have a conversation. In the next breath said, hey, by us losing Danny Green, we have a guy, Kuzma, who's shown that he can play some wing defense. He showed that in the playoffs. And we also like him in that stretch four capacity. I mean, the Lakers like Kyle Kuzma. They like him a lot. He has kind of that homegrown stamp on him. He's really the only player outside of Alex Caruso and Talen Horton-Tucker that you can say that about this current Lakers group. And they like that he's, you know, has relationships with Rob Pelinka, to Frank Vogel, to LeBron James, Anthony Davis, to Jeannie Buss. What they may not like is a number that those great representatives that Rob Pelinka was alluding to that you know, are the harbingers of Kuzma's career, want to get. You know, if Kyle Kuzma is asking for a four-year, $75 million, $78 million extension, do you do that? Because the Lakers are trying to be in the business of winning now in this window and extending the window so that they can win if and when LeBron James retires and it's just a team built around Anthony Davis and having the proper cap space to pursue a second star to put next to him. And as good as Kyle Kuzma is and as much as he has improved, I don't think it's really prudent to look at him as his ascension will lead to being second star status. I think he's a really good player. I think he helped them a lot in the playoffs, even though his scoring numbers weren't quite what you expected. But I don't know if he's going to help them enough to warrant that type of number. And if he's not going to warrant that type of number, they have two options. One, you ride out the season with him and, you know, use him for this team and then allow him to become an unrestricted free agent. Or allow him to become a restricted free agent, excuse me, and play that game. Or two, you use him as a trade piece and, you know, try to be aggressive on the market. That was the term that Pelinka used. So, you know, I don't think he's going to get a $78 million extension from the Lakers. That's one of the three options I'm pretty sure on. And as far as the other two options, we'll see where it goes.
Dave McMiniman joining us here. ESPN NBA insider, covers the Lakers for us, does a phenomenal job joining us on the show. So, Avery Bradley, what are we looking at here? Is it likely he departs? Is there a chance he's back? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I reported on Sunday that it was looking likely that he would not pick up the final year of his deal that's owed to him, and that's, you know, what's being reported is happening now. You know, Avery Bradley is the type of veteran, a plug-and-play veteran, that can fit with just about any championship core. He's a pretty good catch-and-shoot three guy. He's a great defender. He doesn't bring drama to the locker room. He has, a winning pedigree. And so, you know, just because he's not picking up that option doesn't mean that he will not return to the Lakers. But I would be surprised if the Lakers have more than $5 million for him to return with. So, you know, he's going to go test the market and see what's out there. And I bet several contenders will come calling. But will there be a contender that can offer him more money? And that we'll have to see what happens with.
When you look at all the teams that are making moves like Milwaukee, presumably Miami, Brooklyn just getting healthy, who do you think is the greatest threat to a repeat for the Lakers?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and because we still have to see what happens with the Bogdanovich deal in Milwaukee, and I'm not so sure that necessarily pushes them over the top. We still have to see, obviously, the Harden deal. If the Nets get Harden, I think, you know, they will, you know, prance their way to the NBA Finals. But, you know, the team that to me is still, and they're not done their work either, but, you know, the LA Clippers are a legitimate contender, and they're in town, and they, you know, they had their deal of turmoil last year, but a lot of times when that happens, teams kind of regroup and they have a little bit of extra fire underneath their feet, and they recognize that, you know, we kind of, you know, messed with that opportunity we had last year, and let's you know, really get it this year and keep that focus and that camaraderie and togetherness. So, you know, I still think the Clippers as of today are the biggest threat. But again, if some of these other trades go down that we've been hearing about and talking about, then I think I could, you know, shuffle that deck.
Dave, you and I talked about this earlier this week on The Jump, but in regards to AD, you know, there was an interview he did after you and I spoke on earlier in the week where he sat down with Chris Haynes, and Haynes was asking you about, you know, your team made a move with Dennis Schroeder, and he stopped him and he said, I don't have a team. The Lakers signed Dennis Schroeder. And you know how this works. People hyperventilate. They freak out. For those that may be freaking out and hyperventilating, what are your thoughts on Anthony Davis and his impending free agency?
I think Anthony, I give him a lot of credit to really sticking to the script. I mean, listen, the flip side of this is to win a championship and walk away from having the chance to repeat and having it, walking away from the guy that got you, you know, or was instrumental in getting you to LA and LeBron James. Is that scenario going to happen? No, not in, you could run this simulation 1,000 times, and not once does Anthony Davis walk away from this team. It's just about whatever the number is. And he's trying to keep his leverage out there. And he's been advised well by his representative, Rich Paul, to keep that optionality out there. You know, as long as he doesn't sign on the dotted line, he can, you know, apply a little bit of pressure to the Lakers to make the moves that he deems fit to make that team as attractive as possible when he does sign on the dotted line. But Anthony Davis will be playing for the Lakers next year, trying to repeat as NBA champion.
When you look at all the activity that's going down on the Eastern Conference, and I know we sort of touched on this in regards to the Lakers, but who do you really think, based upon current construction, is coming out of the East?
Coming out of the East?
Yeah.
You know, I like Boston's team a lot. You know, they were a couple bounces away from making it to the NBA Finals. Obviously, the Heat have something real there, you know, with Jimmy and their young core, you know, guys like Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson are only going to get better. And then, you know, Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee still has major warts. Drew Holiday is an upgrade, you know, as an individual talent, but does Drew Holiday make up for the combined contributions of Eric Bledsoe and George Hill? I'm not so sure. If they get Bogdanović, I love his game. I think he's a tremendous player, and he's played some big games overseas, but he's never played really in a big NBA game in his career. And so, you know, you have some curiosity there, and then you just wonder if, you know, Brook Lopez is what he is, right? Chris Middleton kind of is what he is. Does Giannis, as great as he is, have the capacity to get better himself and, you know, make up for some of the improvements that the teams that are chasing them are going to be making? And so, you know, if I had to pick a team today, I would probably go Brooklyn under the belief in what Sean Marks said, as good as Kevin Durant has looked, because I've also heard that from other people around the league. And Kevin Durant is, you know, in my opinion, when healthy, the second best player in the league behind LeBron James. So I'll pick the team with the best player in the West, the team with the second best player in the East.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Real quick, Dave, we have about a minute or so. Speaking of the Bogdanović thing, you have covered this league for a long time, okay? Have you ever seen such I thought it was embarrassing what happened between those two teams. Do you recall anything that you've covered or seen that was something like this, that was like this?
Not this exact scenario. I think a lot of Lakers fans will recall the slack jaw emotion they felt when the league vetoed the Chris Paul deal.
Right.
Weird stuff happens. And this is certainly weird. You know, this is what I think is really interesting about the idea of tampering. It goes on all the time. Mm-hmm. It's unregulated, mm-hmm. You know, and I had one league executive tell me last summer when we were talking about, you know, the Lakers' pursuit of Kawhi Leonard, You know, it seems to be the only tampering that gets caught is the stuff that's wide out there in the open for everyone to see. And that stuff isn't harmful because everyone knows about it. It's all the other stuff that doesn't get regulated. And for whatever reason, you know, the league is trying to act as if a premature conversation with Bojan Bogdanovic's representatives is such a caustic case in this instance. When to me, everybody who signs tomorrow is going to already had a conversation between the team he's signing for. So I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, it is silly. Thank you, Dave. Always appreciate the time, brother. Thanks again.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thanks, fellas. Yep.
All right, take care. There he is, Dave McMiniman. Does a phenomenal job covering the Lakers for us here at ESPN. Follow him if you're not already. I don't know why the hell you're not. At Mick10, M-C-T-E-N. LZ, excellent work as always.
You too, brother.
All right, thanks to Dave, thanks to Clinton, thanks to Sean McVay, thanks to Key and Bobby Marks, Greg and Laura too. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day. Rams All Access next.